You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don McGrecka.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. He's Anthony Pusick. And welcome back here on Monday to the great EJ Raddick from the NHL Network. How are you, sir?
I'm good. We're coming down the stretch, baby.
This is the most fun regular season that I can remember in a long time, because we've got like just so many different stories. Like when Anthony and I do this podcast 3 days a week, we can open with like a myriad of things, and we just had like a whole weekend of stuff. So, like, where do you pinpoint? Where do you go? And I just think this race in the East is, you know, it's kind of like snails kind of racing, where, like, nobody seems to want it. But the one team that you got to give credit for, and I really can't believe I'm saying this on March 25th, the Washington Capitals are a playoff team. It's pretty incredible what they've been able to accomplish here down the stretch. Ovechkin's been hot, and they, right now at least, have been able to grab that eight spot.
Yeah, hot is the right word. I got to call both of their games over the weekend. Their Friday game against Carolina, which was an absolute wild, crazy game. It ended up 7-6 in a shootout, and they just kept coming back in that game. And then on Sunday afternoon against Winnipeg, a Winnipeg team that was really not happy with itself after a couple of losses to the Devils and Islanders. And through two periods, they were clearly the better team, but Charlie Lindgren just was terrific in the game. And you get to the third period, and they score on a power play. The Capitals, their power play has just been, after starting the season dismal, their power play is now like 37.5% success rate over the last 18 games. So that's red hot, and they found a way to win. Ovechkin had two more goals. He's got eight goals in his last five games, and you know, over the last that 18-game stretch, he's more than a point a game and almost more than a goal a game. I mean, it's just crazy the way things have worked out for them. So you got to give Spencer Carberry a lot of credit. I think I give Brian McClellan a lot of credit as well, the GM, because he's moved some guys around. They've brought young players into the mix. You know, McMichael and LaPierre and several others that the. You know, they were late first-round picks, some of these guys. So they're not like those high-end first-round picks. And, you know, they marinated a little bit in Hershey and the Hershey program in the American League. They won the championship last year, the Calder Cup, and they've done a good job in developing some of these kids. And it's kind of come together for them where, you know, watching them over the weekend, you know, they're on a little bit of a mission right now with the those veterans like Carlson and Ovechkin and Oshie really, you know, providing that leadership, and then these young kids playing well enough, and then they're getting great goal. That's just the secret to it all, always, is getting really good goaltending, and Charlie Lindgren was spectacular yesterday, and they sit in a playoff spot as we talk, and they got a huge game tomorrow night at home against the Detroit Red Wings, and, you know, they've got still got a game in hand on the Red Wings and a game in hand on the Flyers, who they trail by a couple points as well. So it's going to be an interesting stretch run. But you're right, I'm shocked, because I didn't think the Washington Capitals would be in this mix, and here they are.
Yeah, I agree with you, EJ. And if you had to guess right now, given how much Philly has struggled without Carter Hart, a couple of their defensive injuries and everything else, do you see Washington possibly getting the third, the three seed, I guess you can call it, in the Metro?
I think it's possible. I mean, we keep waiting for Philadelphia to kind of fall back. And, you know, they've gotten through this stretch of seven games where they were playing. You know, they got another game, you know, at the Garden tomorrow night. And then that completes the stretch of seven games where I think it was Boston twice, Toronto twice, Carolina, Florida, Rangers. And I thought when we got through that seven-game stretch, you know, they might have just been falling right out of the picture. But they've managed to get points. You know, last week they lost yesterday to Florida. But prior to that, I did the game on Saturday. They beat the Boston Bruins with a late goal. Earlier in the week, they had lost to Carolina, but in overtime, so they pick up a point there, and then they beat Toronto. So that's five out of those possible 6 points in those games. So, I mean, when I look at the way Washington's playing and the way Philly's playing, I really like what's going on in Washington more right now. But, you know, it's hard to say. Philadelphia just keeps finding ways to get points. Now, the two teams will play on their last game of the season. They play one another, so maybe that'll decide it. But, listen, this, Don, you said it. It's a snail race, a turtle race, whatever you want to say. I mean, Washington's right. made a push now. Any team that could put together four or five wins in a row is That's in the mix, because then you're pushing up. Even the Devils at this point, the Devil fan has to be so frustrated, and the Devils in that room have to be so frustrated, because over the last couple of weeks, they've had numerous opportunities to put together back-to-back wins. I mean, they beat Winnipeg, then they lose to Ottawa, then they beat the Islanders. I mean, if they would have beaten Ottawa the other night, I mean, the Devils would be at 76 points, and they'd be pushing into the mix. So anybody that can put together four or five wins in a row is going to have a chance right. to get in there at this point.
Now, Tom Wilson has served two of his six-game suspension. I like to try to get inside the mind of players. I know it's dangerous and it's hard to do and it's frustrating, but like, what do you think he was thinking? Honestly, I mean, is there any apologist out there that can say, well, he was trying to do this or he was thinking that? Like, he knows he's got a reputation. What exactly do you think was going on in his mind?
Well, first of all, it's hard to get into anyone's mind.
Right.
I always joke, guys. It's like, you know, hey, I don't even know why I do the things I do sometimes. How would I figure out what somebody else is going to do? When I watch the play, I mean, clearly it's just, I mean, let's face it, he hit him right in the face. It's a suspension. He's got a history where lucky Noah Gregor wasn't seriously hurt. If you're asking me what I thought he was doing, I think what he was doing was he was whipping his stick kind of like a jockey uses the whip on a horse and kind of just trying to hit him along the side and really give him a hard whack on the pants or on the side. And he just too strong, and he whipped it too hard, and it went up and hit the guy in the face. I mean, his reaction immediately was, oh, I'm so sorry, because I don't think he meant to hit him in the face. I think he meant to just give him a really hard whack with his stick, but that's not what happened. He hit him right in the face.
Right.
So that's a suspension. So if you ask me what I think he was thinking, I don't think his intentions were, I'm going to hit this guy right across the face. I think his intention was, I'm going to give this guy a hard whack on the legs or on the arm. And just, those sticks are light, and Tom Wilson's a really strong man. And he just whipped the stick around, like I said, like a jockey, and he ended up hitting him in the face. So, you know, you get what you get now. I mean, he's got a 6-game suspension. Oddly enough, Capitals have won the first two games without him. Just like the Toronto Maple Leafs, when Morgan Rielly got a 5-game suspension, they won all 5 games. So let's see what Washington does. Sometimes these things, they do kind of galvanize a group within the room. And, you know, these teams and the coaches are always good about, you know, hey, it's us against the world. Everybody's out to get us. Tom's our guy. Let's pick it up for him. That's how it plays out. So, I mean, they won the two games so far. We got that huge game with Detroit tomorrow night, and that's going to be one to really watch. If they can win that game tomorrow night, I mean, that propels them up and pushes Detroit back, and that's a huge moment for Washington if they can do it.
Now, we talk about how impressive the Capitals run has been, and Don has mentioned this over the last 2 weeks. I don't think anybody is playing hotter than the Nashville Predators right now. A 5-game win streak, it seems like they haven't dropped a point in like 12, 13 games. They have 88 points. They're first in the wild card. This is a pretty impressive run that this team is on right now, EJ.
Yeah, what is it? I think they're like 16-0-2 or 14-0-2.
I think it's 17 straight, 15-0-2.
There you go. I mean, so ever since the, you know, the trip where they didn't get to go to U2.
Anthony brought that
in
up.
Vegas. Yeah. I mean, it's the line of demarcation. I mean, they lost to Dallas at home 9-2, and I remember being in the studio that night and watching we're doing all our live looking, and the goals Dallas were scoring, it was like a mental game. I mean, it was in Nashville, and yet it was ugly. And at that point, that's when Barry Trotz and the management there and Andrew Burnett, and they just said, listen, you know, this is not acceptable. And the team went to Vegas, didn't go on that trip. They went to Vegas, they beat the Golden Knights, and they haven't looked back since then. So they're getting great goaltending from both their goaltenders. Lincoln had a shutout down in Florida the other night. They're finding ways to win tight games. I mean, they beat Detroit 1-0. That's a game that could easily go the other way on you, and they were able to fight off the, you know, the Red Wings.
How about Forsberg, 39 goals, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I don't know where it goes in the playoffs. I mean, the Western Conference is crazy, but, I mean, if you ask me, you know, can Nashville win a playoff series? Yeah. I mean, why not? They got great goaltending. Roman Josi's having another great year. They're getting good scoring from you know, different parts of their lineup, and you know, they really are good in two areas that you know, they're good on the forecheck and they're good defending around their net. So I mean, and their goaltender's really good. So it'll be interesting to see how they finish the season. I mean, they've been on this long run. Can they continue to? You know, you're not going to just get points in every game. I mean, they've got Vegas coming up tomorrow night. That'll be a really good game. They got Colorado later in the week. You know, they go on this little, you know, trip. They got to go to Dallas. You know, it's going to be interesting. Well, actually, the Dallas is not on their schedule, but they, you know, they come to New York. They play the Islanders and the Devils, so we'll get a look at them here. But I'll be curious to see how they play in the playoffs. That's the thing for me, Don. They're going to be in the playoffs. We know that. They've had this great run. They're playing really well. They got to feel good about themselves. That place is an interesting place to play down in Nashville. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out for them. But they've been fun to watch right now. It's crazy, though, that the whole streak started because, you know, at that point. It's very clear that's when the turnaround happened. So, just a reminder from management and from the team within, like, it's like, listen, it's not, you know, we have to play to a higher standard, and boy, they're doing it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Me and Don had this question, EJ. I want to pose it to you as well. Now the Capitals are involved, but taking a look at the four wildcard teams, would you put the Predators as the second most likely to upset below the Tampa Bay Lightning out of the four that are there now? I think no matter what, that wild card team in the East, that second wild card team in the East, is going to be fourth. But I think there's a debate over whether Vegas or Nashville have a better chance, especially with the way Vegas is playing right now, of upsetting a team if they're in the wild card. Do you think Nashville has the second most likely odds to upset a team in a first round playoff matchup?
Well, I don't know about, you know, what the odds are for teams. I mean, you know, it's, you know, we look at Tampa because they were a two-time champion and they still have some high-end pieces to their puzzle, and you know, they can kill you on the power play, so they're dangerous because of that. But I mean, we'll have to see where these teams are, you know, when the tournament starts. I mean, it's they're both playing, you know, really well right now. I mean, especially, I mean, obviously Nashville's playing extremely well, but where are they going to be when it starts? I can remember a couple years ago Nashville getting the playoffs and Soros got hurt late in the season. And, you know, it was like all the air was out of the balloon. And they ended up losing to Colorado. I think they got swept. And Connor Ingram, who's now in Arizona, had to step in. And he was kind of a little-known commodity at that time. And he played okay, actually. But Colorado was just too good. And I think that was the year Colorado went on to win the Stanley Cup. But, you know, we'll just see where they are. No. I mean, That's the thing. Who's healthy? Who's playing well? It's Donnie. It goes back to always what I always say: injuries, matchups, they're at. So, like, in terms of, like, you know, what are the odds for these teams? I think the odds for all these teams, any of those eight to get in on either side, some of them will have tough matchups. But all you have to do, go back to last year, the Florida Panthers, who barely got into the playoffs, beat the Boston Bruins, who had 135 points and had a historic regular season. So. And that unfolded right at the end of the year. Boston, Bergeron got hurt. Krejci was dinged up. They came and they went into the postseason. Not quite the same team. Florida was coming in on a real high and really was just finding their way.
Well, so that's
I
the
think
thing.
These next couple of weeks, are that it can change,
of course.
Like Nashville may be not very good at all. When it comes to when we start on April 25th, maybe they have injuries and they lose their mojo. That's the thing.
Well, the thing, right? Because you know we're comparing to like Nashville's got 11 games left, so 71 games. 11 looks like a pittance, but it's a lot of games. 11 games is a lot of games that can completely change the momentum. So they're 15-0-2 in their last 17. You know what if they go 2-9? In the final 11, you're going to have a completely different perspective. They're going to feel completely different.
Exactly.
That would be the scary thing for me for Nashville. And I remember Jacques Lemaire telling me this years ago. I remember when he was coaching the Devils were on kind of like a two. They won 5-6 in a row. And he actually talked after a loss, like anxious, like excited about, all right, I want to see how my team's going to respond now. They just lost for the first time in like 2 weeks. I'm kind of interested to see how they're going to respond because you know the streak's going to come to an end. And we look at the Islanders. Win 6 in a row, lose 6 in a row. Detroit did the same thing. Yep. Win 5 in a row, lose 7 in a row. So if they follow this 15-0-2 streak with a 2-7-2 streak going into the playoffs, nobody's going to remember those 17 games where they didn't lose.
That's right. So I just think anybody who gets in, he's got a chance to win in the first round, and then if anybody, whoever wins in the first round, you get down to eight teams left in the tournament. Any of those teams could win the Stanley Cup. At that point in time, where are they? How healthy are they? What's their path? I mean, that's how it breaks down. I mean, the Florida Panthers is a great example of it last year. You know, they got rolling at the right time. They beat the biggest obstacle in their path in the first round. They ripped through Toronto. They had some close games on the scoreboard with Carolina, but really they were clearly the better team. And then they got to Vegas, and Vegas was just a machine by then. And Vegas was healthy. And Florida started to lose pieces along the way, and Vegas ended up being – Vegas was just the best team. But, like, look at Vegas this year. A lot of similar pieces, but no Mark Stone now with injury. Aiden Hill has had challenges. Has had injury? You know, is the goaltending going to be as good? What other pieces to the puzzle are gonna play? I mean, they added a couple, but like Hurdle, is he going to fit? Is he going to play? And if he plays, is he going to fit? Is he going to be playing well? So it's just so tight. It goes back to what we talked about throughout the whole year, guys, right? Because this league is so tight. On any given night, anybody can win, really. And so we'll watch this, you know, a couple of weeks play out here down the stretch. And you know, let's watch to see, you know, if Nashville can continue to play, even if they don't get points in all the games, which they won't, are they going to continue to play really well and be a really hard team to play against? I talked to Bill Lindsay the other day, who does the Panthers games, works with us at NHL Network. He was really impressed with Nashville. He said they went in there and they really beat the Florida Panthers. And he goes, that has not happened often this year. And so we'll see where the Predators are. Maybe the Preds are going to, maybe they're this year's Panthers. Who knows? But we'll have to watch and see. They got the goaltending, and like I said, with Washington at the start. That's the secret sauce for everybody. Charlie Lindgren's playing really well right now. If he keeps playing really well, Washington Capitals are probably going to be in the playoffs. So that's, you know, that's what it comes down to in a lot of games.
I don't want to get caught up in the hysteria from fans, but it's interesting how the Rangers play without Trouba. And Trouba sometimes becomes the target of fans because, let's face it, he can hit. He's got an offensive presence. He's not, you know, the greatest defender in the world. And look how they played without him. And maybe it's just coincidence. As you said, maybe you rally around the troops when you lose your captain. But this is more a compliment to Braden Schneider than it is to Jacob Trouba. I need to see him play more minutes. Like, is it that crazy to think in a big spot that, you know, Miller and Schneider might be the better pairing in a one-goal game late in the playoffs than just assuming it's got to be Trouba and Miller again? Can you see when Trouba comes back, things get shuffled around where a guy like Braden Schneider sticks with Miller and plays more minutes?
Well, that's going to be interesting for Peter Laviolette because Snyder is a really good player. He was a first round draft pick, and a lot of teams, you ask different scouts around the league, different teams, I mean, he was a guy that a lot of people like and think he's going to be a really good player and continue to get better. And he's had this opportunity now to move up because of the situation with Trouba. So, you know, I think, for me, I think Peter Laviolette is a top candidate in my mind for Coach of the Year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know every year there's this debate about Coach of the Year, and Don, we've talked about it many times. It's kind of the low expectations game, right? Like, you know, like John Tortorella will likely win it, would be his third time he won it. He would only be the second guy to win it, you know, three times. I think Pat Burns was the other. But like the Flyers, nobody expects them to be in. They're playing well. They make the playoffs. Everybody's, well, that's, and Torch has done a great job. You know, I'm a little tired of some of the chit chat with the media. I think it's a little much, but he's done a great job. I think Peter's done a fantastic job with the Rangers. He's come in this first year, and he's had a history of coming in the first year and doing well in different places. But I just think he's done an amazing job, kind of really managing the talent. It's a long season. We went through that stretch in the middle of the year where we would talk, and, you know, Anthony and Don, you guys would come on, and we'd be talking about how the Rangers, are they that good? Aren't they? You know, and, but, you know, here they are. You know, they're right near the very top of the league. So I think Peter's done a great job, and this will be another challenge, just trying to figure this out because, you know, minutes are important, matchups are important. Tuba brings a certain physicality to the game that, depending upon who you play against, you want. But it depends on the matchups, and, you know, Peter's going to have to be that good bench jockey and figure that out moving forward. But make no mistake, Braden Schneider's a really good player, and he's only going to get better. So that will be the challenge. But these are the good problems to have a really up-and-coming young player on the blue line that is pushing for more minutes. It'll be up to Peter to kind of sort through that and figure it out.
What do you make of the win on Saturday night over the Panthers for them, EJ? I know that the Panthers were shorthanded. They didn't have Barkov. They didn't have a couple of their guys. But the Rangers, of course, without two of their defensemen, and two very important defensemen, especially on the penalty kill, they get down in that game. They come back, and then they win it in a shootout. And it's really a logjam of like five, six, seven teams that are a point or two behind each other here for the President's Trophy. That's a pretty impressive win for the Rangers.
I agree. I thought it was a really important win for the Rangers because they hadn't beaten, you know, Florida. Florida's going to be the team. That's the consensus, right, that the Florida Panthers are the best team in the East. I mean, that's the way I feel, and I think a lot of other people feel the same way. But that's going into things, and as we talked about, it's close, and things can change that. Injuries certainly can change that. They're not the same team. Obviously, without Barkov in the lineup for sure, but
yeah, that's a big miss.
That was
them.
A game where the Rangers were behind, and they rallied, and they were able to get the win. So to me, that's a really important win, just for the psyche of a team that, hey, we can beat this team, and that's a good win for them moving forward.
You know, we talk about the emotions of a team, and, you know, rallying around. It could also work as a negative. I mentioned this last week that talking to the people around Winnipeg when they were in last Tuesday. Boy, did they really feel like they needed to beat the Rangers. It had been a long time since they'd beaten a quality team. And yeah, it feels like, or maybe they just took advantage of New York too much, but it seemed like they just left it all at the Garden because they've lost three straight games and really have been non-competitive in all three. You know, so I really like that team. So was it just a law of averages thing that eventually was going to turn for them, or is there something to the fact where they just were so focused on beating the Rangers and just three very winnable games in the stretch, and they end up going 2-3 on their road trip?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were really focused on coming into Madison Square Garden and beating the Rangers, and they had the 2 days off, played the Devils. I don't think they played, they didn't play well against the Devils, and then they played very poorly against the Islanders. They were being outshot 26-4 when they pulled Hellebuck when they were down in that game. I mean, that's hard to imagine that, you know, we've seen the Islanders all year. It's hard to imagine that outshooting the Winnipeg Jets 26-4 in a game. But I thought the game on Sunday, which I called, I thought the Jets were very good in the first two periods of that game. I mean, it was scoreless after two periods. And the only reason it was scoreless was because of Charlie Lindgren. So I thought they were much better in that game. They were getting opportunities. They just couldn't score. They get in the third period. They give up a power play goal. They get behind in the game. And then they get a kind of a fluky goal. Ovechkin bats at a puck off a faceoff with Connor McMichael. They both kind of almost simultaneously hit the puck. And I think it fooled Hellebuck, and it kind of just trickled over the goal line. So now it's 2-0, and then the game is kind of over at that point because it was such a tight checking game, and the Capitals could kind of dial it back and just, you know, really defend. So I thought they were better in that game. But, yeah, it's odd because they did play so well against the Rangers, and they were so focused on that game. And it just goes to show you that if you're not dialed in to play your best every night, you're going to lose. I mean, the Devils have a – you know, it's been a hard year for the Devils. It's been a struggle. But the Devils have really some good offensive players, and if you're not playing well, they'll beat you. And I think they had 40 shots in that game. And they took a lot of penalties in that game, Winnipeg. And then against the Islanders, you know, again, trying to just kind of roll in and think, you know, you're gonna beat anybody in this league is just not the way to go. And the Islanders, who were coming off, I guess they had lost really, what was it, six straight losses and a bad loss to the Red Wings in Detroit and were desperate. And they played really well in that game. But I did think Winnipeg played better in the game against Washington. And, you know, I'm not ready to bury them yet. I mean, they're going to get a couple of guys back in their lineup. And you know, hopefully Vilardi will be back at some point. They're likely going to get Rutger McGroarty out of Michigan when they finish their season, who's a really talented young player and could give them a little bit more depth. But, you know, those are certainly – this last three games hasn't been – something that they're that excited about, I'm sure, in Winnipeg. So we'll see. They go home to start I think it's a 4 or 5 game homestand. We'll see how things play out. Of course, they get the Oilers, I think, next. So Connor McDavid and company come in, and they're not happy because they were just in Ontario and got kind of blown out by the Leafs and then blew a lead against the Ottawa Senators. So I can't imagine the Oilers are too happy.
EJ, with the Islanders, is it just a matter of that this roster just because something we've kind of hinted at over the last couple of months that there's something missing from this roster? Because you saw the jolt that Patrick Waugh did manage to give them when they made the coaching change, and they did play better. They had that win streak. Now they've kind of come back to earth. Sorokin hasn't played up to par, at least in Patrick Waugh's eyes and a lot of the eyes of the Islander fans. They lose 4-0 to the Devils last night at home. Is there something just missing from this team, and it's something that has to be corrected in the offseason? Because I don't think that there's a playoff push in store for this team at this point.
Well, I just don't think they have enough jam up front. I mean, they've got a couple of, you know, good offensive players, but there's not enough. I don't think there's enough youth and speed up front. I think the defense is okay. The goaltending is obviously very good when they're playing well. I don't think Sorokin has played very well for a little while now. Maybe it's just a lot on Sorokin. I mean, he's got a high standard, right? Like, I thought that game in the Garden, what was it, last week? I didn't think he was very good in that game. And they just need him to be really good. I mean, like I just said before, Charlie Lindgren has kind of come out of nowhere this year, and he's played really well. And he's given the Capitals a chance to win every night. He really won that game yesterday for me, because if Winnipeg scores first in that game, it's probably a different game. So the Islanders really rely on Sorokin. And, you know, I think that's hard. And he's got a high standard. And it's just not, you know, I think he hasn't played to the level he needs to play at for that team to win. So, you know, I look at them. I just think they need a little more jump up front. They don't have enough speed up front. They don't have enough depth scoring, to me. And you know, that's the biggest problem for me, is they really can't push you on your heels and make you really have to struggle to defend. They kind of, you know, that's a group. A lot of those guys have been together for a while. And, you know, when I look at it, that's the problem. I don't know how you fix it, Anthony, because, you know, they don't have a lot coming from their minor league team right now. And they haven't had a lot of really high picks that have paid off in the last several years for them. So they've got some work to do. It's going to be really difficult for them to kind of turn that around on a dime and to get the kind of players that I'm talking about to kind of upgrade that offense. So, and Lou has been really hesitant to do much. Right? I mean, he went on and got Horvat last year. But when you look at their team, you know, how different is it from that team that was, you know, the offense from like 3 or 4 years ago? Well, you know, you still have that Clutterbuck line. I mean, you know, you still have a lot of the same pieces. Brock Nelson has been really good for them, and you know, some of their top end guys have played well. Anders Lee has had a tough year. So I mean, that's it for me. I just think they're not a team that scares you offensively, and if the goalie is not on his game, you beat them usually.
Yeah, that's it. And I didn't think he was great on Sunday against the Islanders, and it's been kind of up and down, and that's a big difference. And you mentioned 3-4 years. That's a big difference too. I mean, that's over time.
Yeah.
You know, everybody gets a little bit older, gets a tad bit slower. The rest of the league kind of catches up, and you know, it's a different world. I mean, they're still alive, as we said. They're still, you know, 10, 11 games remaining for them to be able to turn it around. This is a team that not that long ago won 6 in a row, but I think it did kind of mask some of the problems with the team. I don't see a run in them. Now, that's the thing. I don't, you know, we saw it last year with Florida, but it was because of the fact, as you said, they were kind of maturing and they popped at the right time. Maybe that's what's going on with Nashville now, where Trotz has been able to put his presence on that team after a while with Burnett. But, you know, it also looks like any of these teams probably aren't making any kind of a run, right? They're going to get in, and then they're probably going to be one and done. You never know, but I don't get the feel that whoever sneaks into that 8 seed is going to be that dangerous to whoever ends up being the number one team in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just depends on who it is and what the matchup is. I mean, yeah. I watched Boston over the weekend. I watched Boston. I don't think they're that dangerous. You know, I think they're a good, strong team.
I was going to say that. They but are. Listen, you can't miss Krejci and Bergeron. They're going to miss losing two centers like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, they just don't, when I watch them play. I mean, they have great culture there. They have great goaltenders, you know, that give that team a chance to win all the time. You know, they understand, you know, how to win a game. But this year, that hasn't even been the case. They've lost a lot of games, so they've had leads, and you know, I think they've had, what are they, 15 overtime or shootout losses this year. I think they were tied for first.
Yep, 15.
With the Islanders are amongst that group, I think. So, I mean, at any rate, I mean, I think they're a vulnerable team when I watch them. I mean, again, you get into a playoff series, it's so different than the regular season because you're playing the same opponent potentially 7 times in a row. Everybody drills down on your opponent. You get it's a matchup game. There's a momentum game. It's everybody who's playing well, who's in the lineup, who's out, who's trying to play through injury. And I look at the Boston Bruins. They're not that deep in those important areas. Like, they're not deep through the middle. And, you know, if their goalies, you know, in that goalie situation there, I mean, you know, they got both guys. They only can play one. So how is that going to play out? Last year, I thought that was kind of mismanaged with them deciding to stay with Olmark right to the end. And then in game 7, all of a sudden it was Swayman. So how is Jim Montgomery going to handle that? So I think they're a little bit vulnerable. I'm not all that, you know, not that they're at the very top, but I'm not all that scared about Toronto. I think the best thing that could happen to Boston is they play Toronto because they seem to play them very well. But they may be in a situation where they win the Atlantic and have one of the wild card teams. And, you know, I could see Tampa beating Boston. Right now I could see Washington beating Boston. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's a silly league, Don. We've seen it over many years. I mean, the playoffs, it's almost like baseball now, right? Baseball, there's the regular season teams that play well. But when you get into the playoffs, if you don't have those pitchers to line up in the playoffs, you probably lose because the playoffs are different in baseball. And it's in hockey, it's the same thing now because, you know, again, matchups and injuries. And the 7 games against the same team. You're not going into – you don't have that game against the Sharks to get right. You don't have that game against Anaheim to get right. You don't have that stretch of games where you can put together wins and gain confidence. It's the same opponent for potentially 7 games. And if you don't match up well against that team and you can't adjust to what the other team does, or if your goalie isn't playing well, or you got the wrong guys dinged up at the wrong time, those are all factors. It's tight. So – you know, this time of year is kind of a little bit annoying to me because I want the matchups. Like, I want to get to the playoffs now.
Yeah.
I want the matchups and I want to dig in, but we're going to have to watch these teams. And some of these teams, you know, again, you said it. Some of them aren't really going to be that dangerous in the playoffs, but they're still hanging around. So we'll see how it plays out.
Anything come from those GM meetings? We have a solution to our OT problem?
No, I mean, I don't see an OT problem. So, I mean, other people see it. I don't
Depends
see
on the
it.
Day. I didn't see one on Saturday between the Rangers and Panthers. They had 9 combined shots. But there are times where it does feel like it's ice capades.
Yeah, I mean, they go back and they regroup and things. But, you know, the thing is, it's a possession game. And when you lose possession, that's when the problems start. So teams want to hold on to it. And, you know, I guess some people were saying you could put a clock on, you have a certain amount of time when you're in the zone or you can't leave the zone. I mean, I think we're getting way off the track here. Like, whatever you do, and this is the challenge for the GMs, whatever you do, there's going to be things that you did not think about that are going to result. Like, let's say, for example, let's start to challenge the offside. It only happens a few times a year. What could go wrong? Well, actually, it happens a lot. It happens a lot every game because it's really hard sometimes to call offsides for a variety of reasons. And there's a million entries every game. So now we have a bigger problem that we've had to solve, right, or try to solve. The genie's out of the bottle. So for me, it's a five-minute overtime. It's 3-on-3. No matter what you do, teams, coaches, players are going to adjust. If you want to start a clock or blow the whistle when teams come out of the zone, okay, now we have a face-off. Now we have a longer game that people don't want. Maybe you have a lot of face-offs that way. Maybe it becomes a strategic thing where, like, I go into the zone and I come out. Who knows? But the bottom line to me is it's accomplishing what they want. Most of the games are being, like, every single GM, because they go into those meetings and they get hit with a wall of statistics. And every single GM was very well-versed in the fact that, well, 70% of the games are being decided in the overtime period. And it's like, you know, that's a good number for them. They've limited the shootouts to a certain degree. I know people don't love the shootout, you know, people, especially people who are older like myself, Donnie. You know, I don't know, Anthony, exactly. I don't know if you love it or not, but a lot of people don't really like that, the shootout. But when you go to the games, the people are excited to watch the shootout, you know? So, I don't know. I think it's fine. I think that, and that's how they walk through it at the GM's meetings. They didn't have an issue with it. I think it's probably best to leave it alone. There is an idea of maybe playing more time, playing 7 minutes, but I think that's something that has to be negotiated with the PA. And then you have ice concerns, you have injury concerns. Again, I think it's not a big deal. I did like that they are pushing through maybe for next season a little bit. You know, another thing that can be reviewed, two things, is that friendly fire high stick play that can be reviewed now next year if it goes through the competition committee and the Board of Governors, and also the puck over glass play.
Because yeah, I like that.
Particularly the puck over glass has been one for me, guys, because you're not going to see it every time on video, so it's not going to be conclusive on video all the time because sometimes the puck goes up in the air. We've seen that, right, where you can't tell. But at least to have the option, because it's a black-and-white penalty, and I'd rather see them take a quick look at the video and see if they can tell for sure than huddling among themselves and not being sure. So at the end of the day, I like those two things. The coach's challenge you'll get, you get a penalty against, so the message to the coaches is you better be sure.
Right.
Because it'll be a 2-minute 5-on-3 if you're not.
And to me, that's the X factor. Because, yes, it was obnoxious that first year with the every offside, every goal. But if there's a punishment to it, then it won't happen. You know that if they're challenging offside, it's offside. Unless they're absolutely desperate, you know they've seen it. And the same thing with the if it's inconclusive, they won't challenge it. There won't be a replay. But if you see it was blatant that they missed it or blatant that they got it wrong, then they'll review it. Should take about 30 seconds. Everything's fine. As long as you attach the coach's challenge to it, then I think it really economizes the time and it doesn't really make it that crazy. So I like that.
I like the puck over glass in particular. I've been saying that for a while just because that we've seen it, right, Don? We've seen it in a big moment, in a big game, that gets called, and that changes history. Yeah. I mean,
Game 7, 06, Sabres, Hurricanes.
You nailed it. You took the words right out of my mouth, right? That changed history right there. So you hate to see that be the case, and if it's conclusive on video, I'd like to see them be able to challenge that, and that looks like they're going to go down that path. And the one other part of this is they're not going to be looking at video to put penalties on the board. So if a play gets missed, if it's a puck over glass and there's no call, then you're not going to be able to challenge,
right,
hey, that was a puck over glass. So that's something to keep in mind as well. It's only going to be used to take penalties off the board. It's not going to be used to put penalties on the board. So,
all right, well, what do you got this week? Any games?
Oh, I got one more NHL Network Showcase game. I think it'll be a pretty good game because the last time they played, it was nasty, Florida and Detroit. That's on Saturday. And I think that's it for our season, and then I'll end up doing, I would imagine, the Stanley Cup final again for NHL International. But it's been a good season. And Donnie, I did the three games in a row this week. And again, I tip my cap to the Kenny Alberts and the Don LaGrecas of the world who do multiple games in a row because, it's a lot.
But it's fun, and you do a great job with it.
Thanks. It's been a lot of fun, and got to work for a variety of people, and we have a great group that we try to do it. I mean, we call the games off the monitor out of the studio, so it's not ideal, but we do the best we can with it. And like I said, we have a great staff and hardworking people. And, over the year, I got to work with Kevin Weeks, who I've done most of the games with, who's so much fun to work with. And Mike Johnson is really good. And this weekend, I was working with Billy Lindsay and Steve Conroy. So I've had an opportunity, Bob Airy, during the year. So I've had an opportunity to work with a lot of different people. And it's been a lot of fun. This weekend, the games were great. All three games were really interesting games. And looking forward to Detroit and Florida next week. And like I said, let's get to the playoffs. This time of year, I want the matchups. I want to be in the playoffs.
Let's get it going.
But,
all right, buddy.
But I'm impatient.
I am too. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. You got it, guys. See ya.
All right. That's the great EJ Raddick. So I try to talk to him every Monday here on Game Misconduct. Two games tonight, and I guess both have some level of importance, Anthony. At 8 o'clock, the Golden Knights will be in St. Louis to take on the Blues. Blues still have a mathematical shot. They played well. They've won a couple of games in a row. They're 4 points back of the Golden Knights. Golden Knights do have a game in hand. So if the Blues can win this game in regulation, Anthony, they would find themselves just 2 points out of a playoff spot. So that's an interesting game. And then the Kings will be in Vancouver to take on the Canucks. The Canucks tied with the Rangers for the most points in the National Hockey League for the race in the President's Trophy. But more important for the Kings, they sit in third place in the Pacific Division with 85 points. So if they were to lose in regulation to Vancouver and the Golden Knights win, then the Golden Knights would climb back up top to the 3 seed in the Pacific Division. So only two games tonight, but both have importance for standings and for playoffs.
Yeah, really slim chance, according to Greg Wyshynski. He put up the stats. He's been doing a good job with that on StatLeets. The Blues have a 5.8% chance. So it's not nothing, but it's close to nothing. Well, so they really need this game. It shows you. I talked about it in the question I had to EJ. The President's Trophy race is really, really tight right now. The Rangers win over the Panthers was big for them to possibly win the President's Trophy. And there's a lot of teams right now that if you're not fighting for a playoff spot, you're fighting for seeding. So there's not many games. Even Don, the Sharks-Blackhawks game this weekend was big because it's a Celebrini Bowl.
Right.
So you got to take that into account as well. So it'll be an interesting last 15 or so, and now we're down to what 12 games. It's going to be fun.
I mean, some teams have 13 games left, some teams have 10, so we're all in that really close, but as I mentioned to EJ earlier, it sounds like a very small portion of games compared to what's already been played, but a lot can happen in 10 or 11 games. So you can rattle off 11 straight wins and change everything. You can lose 7 or 8 in that span and have everything fall apart on you. So still a lot of hockey to be played. I'll be on the call tomorrow for Rangers Flyers at Madison Square Garden. Looking forward to that. See if the Rangers can get another window under their belt before they have to travel to Colorado and Arizona to close out the week. So I'm looking forward to that. But let's try this again on Wednesday, get a little bit more interactive with the fans at Don LaGreca, at Anthony Pusick, hashtag Game Misconduct. So should be a lot of fun.
I look forward to it, Don.
All right, we'll talk to you again on Wednesday. This was the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.